Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 46. In this episode, I'll review the pharmacologic treatments for anaphylaxis. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode46. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free group with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating with each other using real-time messaging to help better care for patients. I invite you to join me and the over 120 other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. Anaphylaxis is a potentially fatal allergic reaction with a rapid onset. IgE-mediated allergic reactions to food, insect stings, and medications are the most common triggers for anaphylaxis. As a result of the IgE reaction, mast cells release histamine and other mediators of anaphylaxis. If not properly treated, it will progress to respiratory arrest and cardiovascular collapse. According to World Allergy Organization guidelines, anaphylaxis is highly likely when any one of the following three criteria is fulfilled. Criteria number one, acute onset of an illness with involvement of the skin, mucosal tissue, or both, and at least one of the following, respiratory compromise or reduced blood pressure. Criteria number two or more of the following that occur rapidly after exposure to a likely allergen for that patient. Involvement of the skin mucosal tissue, respiratory compromise, reduced blood pressure, or persistent gastrointestinal symptoms. And criteria number three is reduced blood pressure after exposure to a known allergen for that patient. Now for adults, a systolic blood pressure of less than 90 millimeters of mercury or a greater than 30% decrease from that person's baseline will qualify for reduced blood pressure. Epinephrine, IV fluids, and airway management are the main treatments for anaphylaxis. Epinephrine is the drug of choice for anaphylaxis. Epinephrine has no absolute contraindications to use in the treatment of anaphylaxis. Epinephrine stabilizes mast cells, prevents or reverses obstruction to airflow in the upper and lower respiratory tracts, and prevents or reverses cardiovascular collapse. Intramuscular injection is the preferred route of administration for the treatment of anaphylaxis. Several different preparations of epinephrine are available. Take care to select the correct one. The epinephrine preparation for IM injection contains 1 milligram per ml and will also be labeled as epinephrine 1 to 1,000. The recommended adult dose of epinephrine is 0.3 to 0.5 milligrams per single dose injected IM into the mid-outer thigh. If needed, this dose may be repeated every 5 to 15 minutes. Occasionally, patients with extreme anaphylactic reactions do not adequately perfuse muscle tissue and therefore do not respond well to IM injection of epinephrine. If this occurs, administer epinephrine via an infusion pump at a rate of 2 to 10 mics per minute or about 0.1 mics per kilo per minute if you're using weight-based dosing. For patients who are receiving beta blockers, epinephrine's effectiveness will be blunted, and hypotension and bradycardia may persist despite administration of epinephrine. If this occurs, glucagon is an attractive option due to its inotropic and chronotropic effects that are not mediated through beta receptors. a dose of 1 to 5 milligrams in adults given IV over 5 minutes, followed by an infusion of between 5 to 15 micrograms per minute is recommended. Overly rapid administration of glucagon will induce emesis. Treatment of anaphylaxis with medications other than epinephrine is not supported by evidence. Rationale for adjunctive treatments are extrapolated from other disease states, such as urticaria or asthma. The following four adjunctive treatments are commonly used despite lack of evidence for their benefit. H1 antihistamines, such as diphenhydramine or cetirizine, relieve itching and urticaria. They have no effect on any of the life-threatening symptoms of anaphylaxis. H2 antihistamines, such as famotidine or ranitidine, given with an H1 antihistamine, may provide some additional relief of hives. They too have no effect on any of the life-threatening symptoms of anaphylaxis. Glucocorticoids have an onset of action that is measured in hours and are therefore not helpful in the acute treatment of anaphylaxis. They have been routinely given to patients with anaphylaxis with the hope of preventing biphasic, late phase, or protracted anaphylaxis, but evidence of effect is lacking. Albuterol may be used to treat bronchospasm that persists despite administration of epinephrine. Remember, mucosal edema is not reversed by albuterol. The alpha-1 adrenergic effects of epinephrine are required for this. As a pharmacist, I find fascinating the idea that medications may interact with the disease state of anaphylaxis. Angiotensin production is a normal compensatory response to anaphylaxis, so you can expect patients who develop anaphylaxis while taking ACE inhibitors to have particularly profound hypotension. And as we discussed, beta blockers may make anaphylaxis more resistant to treatment by blocking the bronchodilator and cardiovascular effects of epinephrine. Glucagon is recommended in this scenario. The successful treatment of anaphylaxis revolves around timely administration of an adequate dose of epinephrine. Here are three pitfalls to watch out for. Number one, any delay in administration of epinephrine. Number two, thinking that medications other than epinephrine are adequate to treat anaphylaxis. And number three, errors in epinephrine administration due to multiple and confusing dosage forms. Listeners can support the show by shopping through my Amazon link at the bottom of any page at pharmacyjoe.com or by purchasing something they find useful from my resource page at pharmacyjoe.com/resources. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.